Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation with author Gemma Jade about shadow entities and sleep paralysis. Now, one other thing that I thought was interesting that I didn't connect until I read your book. Once again, we get lots of stories about black masses and black mists on a Real Ghost Stories podcast. And I mean, I guess I see there could be a connection, but I think that connection between them and shadow entities is probably more than I thought it was. I didn't really know what a black mist or the black mass is that people see, because they'll see it and it doesn't really have a shape. They'll just say,
right.
Like they'll see, some people see a black mist, which is exactly what it sounds like. And others, it's like a mass. It's dark. It doesn't have a shape. It's certainly not like the hat man where they can figure out it's wearing a hat. So it seemed different, but there are some similarities, you know, under the shadow entities umbrella.
Well, I feel like a lot of them too are like, they're very nebulous, like you said, amorphous. There's no real shape to them. Are they simply not fully formed? Are they not able to fully form in our atmosphere? Are they purposely appearing like that because they know the victim and it would be scarier that way? That is actually how my mom started seeing shadow entities years ago, would be these blobs crawling up the wall and these mists. You know, I feel like sometimes they do it on purpose. I do feel like it's shadow beings sometimes, but a lot of the times those things have to do more with the demonic or, like I said, an earthbound spirit that simply doesn't really want to be bothered. But then I wonder, like, why are you appearing then? You know, just keep yourself invisible. But they don't want to. There's attachment somewhere. I definitely connect them, though. I've had so many stories where I just figured out, or so many places that I've even gone to where I was like, okay, that is a shadow being. It's just for whatever reason, not fully forming.
That's interesting, because I've always been like, well, it doesn't fit the other descriptions, but it kind of, it gives them the same sort of fear. And especially that crawling up the wall thing. There's been, I've heard a lot of that.
So creepy. And that's why I use the term, as best I can remember, shadow entity instead of shadow person.
You did. You did a good job of that.
They're not always, thank you. They're not always in the shape of a person. They can be nebulous. They can be amorphous. And they can be mist or smoke. And, you know, the legend of the jinn is that they are smokeless fire, right? So, you know, that's when I initially made the connection. When I was reading that, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, those black nebulous balls of smoke that just appear randomly do or could be connected to the shadow entity phenomenon.
I want to talk about sleep paralysis too, because I do think there are some things that happen in sleep paralysis. I think it's often just dismissed as a dream state.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Is it a dream state? Is it paranormal? My sister and I also have this conversation frequently. She's one of the co-hosts on the show. Because it definitely, if you have had a sleep paralysis experience, I haven't had one in years. I don't want to have one again. It feels very paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very terrifying. It feels like there's something there. One time it felt like I got attacked by, I don't know. It felt like a large cat. I don't know what that was. Other times I felt it's in the room with me. There's something in the room with me staring at me, and it's got evil intent. I've had that feeling, and it's like everything I can do to open my eyes. I just can't open my eyes. I can't move a finger. I'm just totally paralyzed in place. And let's talk a little about, you know, like scientifically, you know, what's the explanation for a sleep paralysis?
So I put the exact literal definition in the book, which I do not, I actually don't even have a copy of my own book in front of me. But to basically sum it up, it is a brain misfire where, this is what the scientists believe, it is a brain misfire where there's a chemical in your body when you start to fall asleep. It's usually released right before the REM phase, the rapid eye movement phase of sleep, where it kind of paralyzes our bodies. And this is so we don't act out our dreams or nightmares in our sleep, you know, which some people still do sometimes, but it's a rare occasion. You don't, you know, people do sleepwalk, but it's not like more people sleepwalk than don't, right? Sometimes we'll kick out or have a reaction. But for the most part, our motor senses and our bodies are, for the most part, in a state of paralyzation. So not fully paralyzed, but in a state of paralyzation. And sometimes it just starts to wear off before or while we're waking up or before we're ready to wake up. Again, the exact explanation is in the book. But the one thing, and sure, I do think that could be the case some of the time. But one thing I talk to the people on my channel about, and my personal clients, even my family, when they come to me, is Occam's razor, right? So the most obvious answer is usually the answer. Think about it. Is it more realistic that millions, possibly billions of people since the dawn of time are all having the exact same type of experience during a so-called brain misfire, during the same times of night, experiencing the same exact things, all independent of one another throughout millennia? Or is it more reasonable and obvious that these people are actually experiencing something that is truly happening around them? And for me, it makes no sense that it would be the former, that it would be the first thing that I said. Again, does it happen? Of course, you know, some people might wake up and that might be going on with their body and, you know, the chemicals in their brain. But it's you will never, no one will ever convince me that, again, since the dawn of time, primitive man, they were having these experiences. And we all just happen to be experiencing the exact same feelings, emotions, the exact same types of entities. Why not a zombie? Why not a werewolf? It's right. Always black cats, old hags, shadow entities, demons, devils, and certain types of extraterrestrials. It's never like, you know, whatever, some not obvious thing from a horror movie. You know, why not Ghostface from Scream? And I'm being a little ridiculous, but if you think about it, it is ridiculous. Why is it always the same four or five types of entities, the same exact times of night? And why does reciting the Lord's Prayer, whether in your head or as best you can out loud, immediately make it go away? Now, my non-religious friends and gemstones aren't going to like that I said that. I'm not saying that because I'm religious. I'm saying that because it is a known fact.
Which is something I never knew when I was having problems with it. I haven't had one in years, like I said, nor do I want to have it again.
Yeah.
I am fine. It's happened to me and I know what it's like. I don't want to do it again. Like my sister and I were talking one day and she brought up a good point, like, which kind of goes to what you just said about the cause for sleep paralysis. Then if you can go into that sort of state scientifically with the REM state and all of that, and you just kind of get messed up on your way into or out of the REM state, why isn't it you are in a state of sleep paralysis, but the most beautiful, awesome thing is happening to you? You know, you're seeing love and light and everything's awesome, but that's not what happens.
Right.
It's always dark and there's something there.
That is exactly my point. Yep. There is, you know, to me, it's so ridiculous. I don't understand. But for me, again, it's like, it's the same thing. I really have to keep myself humble and keep myself understanding of other people's experiences, because to me, it's strange to like walk through the grocery store and not see all the dead around. It's so weird. And I don't know how I would live that way, having no idea of the spiritual warfare going on around me. It just blows my mind that quote unquote normal, you know, 99% of the population lives that way, because for me, that is just unimaginable in a very like the worst way you could think of the terms, because I can't imagine like you guys for the most part just walk around not knowing that there's darkness surrounding you or some sort of demonic attachment attached literally to your hip that's making you make bad choices. Or and that's not to say I don't make bad choices, because I'm not empathic about myself, so I can't even read Oracle for myself. I can't even connect to three particular loved ones I was extremely close to that I actually grieved when they passed, because my grief built a wall. So, but I still see it on everyone else. And I just can't imagine not having that.
I am so glad that I don't have what you have.
Right. And most people
say that. It
would
be intense. It would be really, really intense.
But when it's all you ever know, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's like right. I met... In my son's first grade class, there are three moms and they all have twins. And I remember saying to one of them, like, oh my God, how did you do it? I don't even know how I handled one. And she's like, it's all I've ever known. It's True. Just what I did. You know, the twins were her first children. So it's what she knew. She did what she needed to do. And it was just all she knew. And that immediately made me think of my situation, where it's like, oh, well, that makes sense. It's what we know, you know?
Do you think that someone's state of mind or someone's negativity or maybe what they're dabbling in can also bring on sleep paralysis state or even bring on shadow people in general?
Yes, like, I absolutely believe that. Just like with the BEK, just like with, demonic entities or anything lower vibrational, the more you look into it, the bigger chance you have, or the better chance you have of experiencing it. And here's why: if you're not looking into it and you're unaware of it or unaware of the details surrounding it, what it entails, say shadow entities, then you're not going to maybe, well, that's a bad example. But let's just use it. You're not going to recognize it for what it is. It could be like, oh man, it looked like something just walked past the corner of my eye. That was weird. Do you know what I mean? But if you're familiar with shadow entities and how they work, how they move through our world and our dimension, you're going to at least consider what you just saw. I had a personal experience with what they call the Glimmer Man or the Predator entity. It is that thing from the Predator movie, and it is real. And I don't know how they got it right in the 80s. Somebody knew something. But I had an experience with one of those things. 2 weeks after I had first heard about them on the internet, on the channel I'm the head writer for, Missing Persons Mysteries, they were discussing it, they were talking about it, and I was like, that's interesting. And I went into this deep dive because it just sounded so creepy and so strange, and it was something I hadn't experienced before. 2 weeks later, I encountered one trying to lure my son, who was then about, I think, 2.5, into the woods. We were having a picnic in a wooded area where if he had taken 10 steps, I wouldn't have seen him anymore. So I was, you know, if I wasn't aware what that thing was, it's literally invisible unless you look at it from like a right angle while the sun's on it. And unless you're aware of the clicking noises it makes, I would have had zero idea that's what was happening. And I probably would have let my son wander further in front of me than I was doing when I noticed this thing with its finger crooked telling my son, come here.
That's terrifying.
It's about awareness.
Yeah.
You know, like, what if I wasn't aware? And I even said that when I sent the encounter story into that channel. Like, I'm glad I was aware of what this was, because if not, who knows? You might be doing a story about me and my son right now being missing people.
And I think just awareness in general. You know, so often we go through life and we're so busy and juggling a million
distracted.
Things that you're not aware of your own surroundings. And there's, you know, scary people out there, not even talking about shadow people.
I always say that. I'm like, the dead do not scare me, guys. It's definitely the living. Like, not even going to lie.
No
I've
kidding.
I'm more terrified of living people than I've ever been of an entity.
So I do find it interesting, like, with the when you take the sleep paralysis and take shadow people, because when they do kind of come together in that extreme state, like, I don't, when I've had it happen before, I didn't see anything because I've never been able to open my eyes. But I knew that 100% if mm-hmm. I opened my eyes, I would see it. Now, what it is, I don't know. But I knew 100% I didn't want to see it. But I also knew that I had to get my eyes open, because if I don't get my eyes open, I'm going to go almost darker. Like, I'm pulled. I keep getting pulled farther away,
yes.
if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
What's interesting to me is that you, other people, have had that same kind of experience, which makes it valid and makes it not just a regular old dream.
Right, yeah. And it also makes you question the validity of the scientific community and all the skeptics that are like, oh, your brain's just misfiring. Again, if you've ever experienced it for yourself, you know that's not the case. I've never met anyone that I've given the scientific explanation to and they were like, oh, that might be it. Never once. It's always like, no, Gemma, you don't understand. And I'm like, I do. I'm just telling you what they're trying to pass this off as. You know, the same thing with junk DNA. They recently found junk DNA. That's not junk. That is our connection to source. That's what that is. But that's why the scientific community calls it junk, because they don't know what it is. They're not ever going to be able to understand what it is, because it is our divine connection. Again, whether you're religious or not, you believe in the universe, source, energy, that is our connection to that. That is what quote unquote junk DNA is. The scientific community, like, again, if you're not aware of it, how can you be aware of it? You don't know mm-hmm. what you don't know. And if you're not even willing to be open to people's experiences, you know, on my channel, I get a lot of the encounter stories, or at least I used to. Now people will send them in to me, but I used to just go to Reddit and I would catch a lot of flack in the comments where they'd be like, you know, Reddit is just a bunch of people who make up stories. Maybe so. But with everything I've been through and experienced in my life, I never discount anyone's story. Even if I innately know they're lying, there's a reason they're doing that. Maybe they want attention. I would never, never just be like, well, you're lying. This is what's, you know, really happening with you. I think there's something to say for the online community, the paranormal, because we do validate each other's experiences in that way. Just by understanding the absolute raw terror and fear that some people are traumatized for the rest of their lives by.
And because of the other show that we do and receiving thousands and thousands and thousands of stories over the years, you see mm-hmm. these similarities in the stories. And I find
yes.
that very interesting. Especially when it comes to these shadow entities, the Hat Man is a good example. But then when you point out the Black Mist, the Black Mass, heard zillions of stories about those. And this darker than dark, that's how a lot of people describe it, especially when they see it at night. Like what I saw during the day, that was not darker than dark. But when they wake up and see it, they'll say it was darker than dark. And I'm like, okay, so why does this guy who lives, we'll never ever meet that guy who lives halfway across the country.
Yeah, they're all independent.
Describing the same thing.
Yep. And you know, you just said something interesting that kind of got the wheels in my brain turning. It's like darker than dark when it's at night, because you're not the first person to tell me you had a daytime, very quick, you know, kind of in back of you or peripheral vision experience with a shadow being. And was just like, oh, that was creepy. You know, why did that happen? I hope that doesn't happen again. As opposed to, oh my gosh, this thing's going to kill me. I'm going to die. It's from hell. Do they purposely appear darker than dark to make sure you see them?
Because
that's what I'm wondering. Because they're appearing at night when it's more, you know, you're already in a more heightened state of like alertness, right? Because you're lying down, your room's dark. You're like, is that my coat rack or is that a person, you know? So I wonder too, do they Because I've always wondered about that. Why are they so, so dark? You know, the absence of light is extremely dark, but once your eyes adjust, right, it's
yeah,
you get used to it. These things, no, they stand right out like a sore thumb, even in pitch black darkness. I wonder if that's just part of what they do to really amp up the terror.
And, which I was just going to ask you about the terror. So if you go with sleep paralysis as a paranormal experience, is that the purpose of it? To ramp up your terror and get you into this state that you are so afraid that it's kind of taking that energy? Because it's all energy.
Yeah, that's what they do it for. I believe that terror and fear are the most, and it's actually in the book, I believe that it's like scientifically proven that our terror, our fear, our sexual energy, those are like the top tier of energetic give out. So that's when we're giving off the most energy. When we're terrified, very fearful, grief will also do it, and sexual intimacy. And I believe terror and fear are when we're at our most, you know, giving our most energetic output, which is why they appear in that way. But I also do think that a lot of them just hate us and like to see the fear in us. Now, I spoke in the book too about shadow animals, and you were talking about it. You felt like you had like a cat or something on your chest. Mm-hmm. And there is a phenomenon called like the black cat. And this is a black, it's not of like a black cat, like your pet. It is a shadow being of a cat. So it doesn't have like the cat eyes or, you know, it just looks like the shape of a cat. And it does tend to sit on the person's chest. So obviously there's at least one form of shadow entity out there that can take many different forms, or at least it seems obvious to me. And I'm wondering if that's the djinn. They're very familiar with animals on our side, and they even have take a liking to dogs, a hatred for cats. Or do they appear in this way? You know, I covered a case in multiple books now because it just applied, Christopher Case. I do believe he was killed by shadow entities. I think it's very rare, but I do think
The case of Chris?
Christopher Case.
Yeah.
I believe they were sent at the behest of a witch. And I do believe that it could have been something demonic just appearing in shadow for maximum fear. But I really don't know, because I've met demons and devils, and they're much more terrifying than a plain black entity. For as terrifying as shadow beings are, you ever come face to face with a demon, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And I hope nobody listening ever does. But I really believe that they can hurt you. I really dislike when paranormal investigators are like, oh, spirits can't hurt you. Yes, yes, they absolutely can. And particularly the lower vibrating entities that were never human, that is almost their mission, to hurt you in some way. So even if they're just energetically feeding off of our fear or our terror or our grief, they are taking from us. We'll be emotionally, mentally, physically, psychically, spiritually drained after an encounter. That is taking from us. It is taking from our life force. It is diminishing our quality of life, at least for a time. So that is hurting us. It's just not, sometimes not physically. And then with sleep paralysis, and I talked about this in the book as well, explain to me how a brain misfire leaves hand and finger shaped bruises around someone's neck when their experience was they were being strangled in their sleep during sleep paralysis. They can't explain that. And it's happened again for millennia with millions of people independent of one another before the internet was even a thing. So how did all these people from whenever the internet first became a big thing, you know, before that, from the beginning of time until then, how did all these people who never even spoke with each other and had no way of contacting or connecting with one another say, oh, I was strangled in my sleep by something that looked like a giant shadow, or a cat that looked like it was nothing but shadow was smothering me in my sleep? And they have the bruises and the marks, bite marks and pinches and scratches to prove that they are under some form of attack.
So now that we have terrified half of the audience, what?
My work here is done.
Thank you. And thank you so much for being on the show. I do have a question. What can people do to protect themselves and to possibly prevent it?
So to prevent it, I would say don't investigate. Obviously, if you're physically attacked, some people might say, okay, never want to deal with that again. And the number one thing for me is like looking more into it, because you're putting that energy out of attraction. You are trying to attract, whether you realize it or not, attract whatever it is to you. I know a lot of people aren't religious. If you are religious, I mean, even if you're not, but most people don't want to hear this. If it's just a shadow being and not something demonic or evil, so to speak, demonic or devil, you can put whatever your religion is, religious, I don't want to say like artifacts, but like religious things. So like a Christian would put a cross or some sort of medal of a saint or something like that in the area of where you sleep. That doesn't usually take it away, but it will ramp it down. Preventative measures, honestly, keeping yourself spiritually clean, saging, and being non-judgmental of people, just vibrating at the highest possible vibration you can on a day-to-day basis, and keeping yourself as happy as can be, spinning things from, oh, I thought this was a curse, but here's how I'm going to look at it as a blessing. Having a positive attitude and mindset. And I know that's hard for a lot of people, or will be hard for a lot of people to understand, but you have to understand these things are attracted to lower vibrations, which is why they attack again when we're in grief, when we're in fear, mm-hmm. when we're terrified already, they tend to pop up. You could more than likely you're having a nightmare and don't even remember it when they come calling in the middle of the night. Keeping yourself vibrating high, spiritually aligned and focused on, positive things. The more you look into these types of things, the more chance, the bigger chance you have of them looking into you.
And don't you think too, I think we all need to work on our mental health constantly, and always be aware of where you're at and, watching out for signs of depression and things. I just think that helps you be a stronger person by being aware of your own mental health and getting the help when you need,
No, you're absolutely right. It's being aware of your energetic vibration, your emotional vibration, and not judging yourself too harshly if you do need help. I mean, I know addicts that have demonic attachments that, no, they can't come flat out and kill them, but they will continue to influence these people to make the wrong choice or the worst choice until eventually they do die. And, that's why too, we have to really pay attention, get the help we need and kind of don't mess around when it comes to our emotional vibration, especially with all the distraction. And the main thing too, I would say, is following your intuition. Mm-hmm. Your intuition is your spirit team, your angels, your guides, your higher self, your ancestors, giving you the right information at any given time. And when we ignore that, that's how we get mixed up in these toxic, narcissistic, possibly abusive relationships. That's how we end up on a date with Ted Bundy and we don't do what that amazingly brave woman did and call her brother in the middle of the date and say, please come get me. I told him I'm in the bathroom. Paying attention to our intuition, the more you ignore that, the more danger you will be put in. And I will say that with 100% guarantee. I'm 41 years old and I just started really leaning into my intuition like 4 years ago, because I was tired of always feeling like I made the wrong decision, but always knowing that I could have made the right one if I just went with my intuition. And intuition does play a major role here. Some people, unfortunately, are more likely to attract these types of things. People like me, people in the paranormal community, even as being in the chat of some of the streams, you just have to protect yourself. And whatever you find works for you, do it. You can use crystals, that works for some people, and keeping yourself mindful and aware.
Now, the book is Shadow Entities, Sleep Paralysis, and Beyond. I have Kindle Unlimited, so I just downloaded it on Amazon. You could do the same. You could buy the book there as well. Now, you have a YouTube channel that people can check out.
Yes. It's just Gemma Jade.
Gemma Jade.
I might change it to Gemma Jade Paranormal. There are a couple Gemma Jades, but I'm the only one that talks about true crime, the paranormal, and things like that. So I also think I have the most subscribers of all of us at like 5,000. So you can just look for me there. And my books are also, if you go to Amazon and just type in Gemma Jade books, because I have like 12 out now. So it's hard for me to put the links to the Kindle, the paperback. And I also beta tested on Audible. So while it is an AI voice, it's actually really good. And nobody's complained about it so far until I sell enough that I can narrate my own books. It is available on Audible as well.
And I can't wait to have you back and talk about one of those other books.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be fun.
Thank you.
I always love
so
talking
much.
To you.
Yeah, I really enjoy our conversations. I feel very welcome and not judged. So it's always a nice time when I'm able to feel that way. And you just have great energy about you. And anyone with energy like that, this open, receptive, higher vibrational energy that you have, it's always a good time and a nice break from the heavy of it all. So yeah, hit me up anytime. I would love to come back. And thank you so much for having me. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
And that wraps up our conversation with author Gemma Jade about her book, Shadow Entities, Sleep Paralysis and Beyond. It's available on Amazon or wherever books are sold. You can also follow her on YouTube. Just search Gemma Jade. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. Or you could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.